and welcome to the latest episode of the Racing Pod Blast with me, Tony Mack, and Ben Aiken from Narrowing the Field. And it's good to be back with you. Happy New Year, everybody. After the weather claimed the Sandown card last weekend, this is our first Pod Blast of 2024. We're track hopping today with races from both Kempton and Warwick covered here on the pod. Two races from Kempton and one from Warwick. And then we head off to our travels up to Scotland, closing the show out with our usual football tricksy battle, top, middle and bottom. But racing first, as always, welcome along, everyone. It's the Coral Handicap Chase from Kempton, due off at 1:30, being the first race under analysis today for us, Ben. And leading owner, can you start us off on that one, please?
Will do, Tony. Hello. The 1:30 Kempton Handicap Chase coupling here interests me. They are Phlegmatic and Latitude. Phlegmatic has run well all three starts so far this season. Only has prime conditions on one of those starts, its prime conditions being class two or less, October or February, good to soft or quicker ground, where he is four wins and three placed efforts from 10 starts. That's all four of his career wins. He started this season on a mark of 139. I think that was probably about his limit, I'd say. He's been dropped a couple of pounds to 1.37. He also has the £3 claim of his jockey here. So he races off a bit more of an appealing sort of mark in this race. A return to Kempton, also a definite bonus because he's two wins and two places from five starts over the Kempton fences. I think this looks a really good spot for the nine-year-old to get back in the winner's enclosure, Phlegmatic. And Latitude is the other one that catches my eye. Still relatively unexposed over fences after seven chase starts. I think he's got his conditions to suit in this race as well. In chases and hurdles on right-handed tracks and over trips of further than 2.5 miles, he is three wins and a half-length second from four starts. He's also won from one over the Kempton fences, so I think he'll be suited by conditions here, and I think he could potentially be a player in this Class 2 handicap. I like them both, but Phlegmatic has been running to a much better level recently than plenty of his opposition in this race. So he'd be my play in this. Phlegmatic for the Skeletons. Or not, Harry's not riding this one, so for Dan Skelton and the Climber. What you got for us in this handicap tonight?
I love Phlegmatic, mate. I think he's a good shout for this. Course and distance winner, as you say. Dan Skelton, Tristan Durrell in the saddle there, claiming £3. I think he's well ahead of Chianti Classico, even though obviously he's behind in the official ratings. They tell you different, but much rather have Phlegmatic here over Chianti Classico. And we were having a quick chat before we came on air, before we started recording. Derasha Counter, I do like each way here. Now, I had Derasha Counter down for the Veterans Chase last week, which got abandoned, unfortunately. I think we made the right decision, mate, last week, because I think there was a win Canton and Newcastle on last week. Absolutely awful. I just didn't bother. I ended up watching Newcastle and Sunderland and something else during the day, and you went to see Elgin.
I went to see Elgin City Stranraer rather than watch the race. Says a lot of that, Tony.
Yeah, premierisation working well, isn't it? Sandown gets called off and we're left with absolute pants. But anyway, Derasha Counter is a 12-year-old. I think it's interesting that he's also... thank you for pointing it out as well, Ben, that he's also still entered in the relocated Veterans Chase on a little bit later. We'll come to it. But he's also first... His first decision will be a preference rather for DeRusher County is this 130 at Kempton. So he's 3 from 18 over the larger obstacles. He won't mind more rain. He's won over 3 miles and he's now racing £12 lower than last winning mark. And I think it's interesting that this is the preference rather than going for horses more of his own age in the veterans chair. So definitely each way, even though there's only seven in the race, but DeRusher County each way to finish second to Phlegmatic, hopefully. And moving on to our next race, which is the 242, the good old Lanzarote handicap hurdle, class 2 handicap, over 2 miles, 5 furlongs. Ben?
Yeah, Lanzarote, some solid trends at play in this when you look at the last 10 renewals. All 10 winners passed the following six trends. All carried 11, 7 or less at 8 or less handicap hurdle starts, or 1 or 2 previous hurdle wins, 0 or 1 previous handicap hurdle wins. All had won or placed in one of their last two starts, and all had previously won over at least 2 mile, 3 furlongs. Now, I'm going to stick those trends up on my blog, so if you want a recap of those trends, just head there, narrowingthefield.co.uk. A strict application of those trends, though, actually only leaves you with one qualifier this year, and that qualifier is Hermino from the Gary Muir Yard. So he's clearly the first one on my shortlist. I'll also beef out that shortlist a bit with Good Luke Charm and Nemean Lion. Now, Hermino, he was sent chasing at the start of last season, disappointed on his two starts over the larger obstacles, so he decided to abort that chasing plan. He ran a solid enough race back over Timber last time out at the Cheltenham Timber meeting. He finished third over 3 miles. That's his first try at further than 2 mile 4, and he maybe didn't quite stay the trip all that well. He just seemed to flatten out a bit when push came to shove, so I think at least a smart sort of idea to drop back and trip here. And he's very much unexposed in handicap hurdles, this being only his third handicap hurdle start. His first handicap run came at Sandown last March, where he finished second behind Highly Mad Murdoch, and that does look like a solid piece of form to me. It also suggests that his current mark of 129 looks very workable for him. So he's a very interesting player, and it's at decent prices as well. Hermino, he's freely available at 16-1 plus, so definitely on my radar, Hermino. Good Luke Charm is another who's reverted to hurdles after an unsuccessful chasing campaign. She failed to win or place in any of her six chase starts last season. She returned to hurdles this season, winning at Wincanton and a third at Cheltenham in December. She has some solid form in her CV over hurdles in the October to February period, with 3 wins and 2 places from 5 starts. Those 3 wins coming on right-handed tracks as well. So I think she'll be well-suited coming back to a right-handed track here in the Lanzarote. Good Luck Charm. And the Nemean Lion is the other on my shortlist. I think he's still got more coming handicap company. This is only his 7th hurdle start. It's only his 3rd handicap hurdle start, and he would likely have finished closer in the Goodwood Hurdle. Greatwood Hurdle last time out, had he not made a relatively bad mistake 2 out, and then another scrappy sort of jump to the last. I think all considered, as probably a decent effort in the in 5th. Form has worked out well since. The runner-ups finished 2nd in the Grade 1 next time out. The 3rd, 4th and 6th from the Greatwood Hurdle have all won next time out. I think strong form on show, recent strong form from Nemean Lion, gets to run off the same mark here, a mark I think he should still be up to winning from. I do like all 3 of those on my shortlist, Hermino, Good Luck Charm and Nemean Lion, and I will play Nemean Lion and Hermino each way, plenty paying 5 and even 6 places if you can get on with them. So Nemean Lion and Hermino for me in the Lanzarote. Tony, what do you think?
Good stuff, yeah. Nemean Lion and Good Luck Charm alike, but I had a massive shortlist. I don't know about you, Ben, in this, but pretty close together on the trends, weren't they? But I've got three different ones as well. I apologise to the listeners, but that's the way me and Ben are. We sometimes agree, and I've got three different ones. I certainly agree with them, Nemean Line and Good Luck Charm. But I've got Mark of Gold here, first of all, a course and distance winner, 4 from 7 on Good to Soft, 6 from 15 when running between 16 and 30 days. Mark of Gold, which I do like. Gary Moore. Gary Moore's got quite a few in this, and he's got Niall Houlihan on board for this one as well. Secondly, from the Paul Nicholls stable, Sonny Gino is the mount of Harry Cobden. He runs off 12 stone here. Might be a bit high in the weights, but he's won on Good to Soft. Good record in Class 2 contests worth $20,000 or more. He's 1 from 3 right-handed. He's also won last time out at Aintree last month, beating 9 rivals by 6 lengths as the 100-30 favourite. I think you can improve on that as well. That was off a £6 lower mark. Obviously, he's up in class. And finally, Moth Hill. I do like Moth Hill in this as well, who's a big price, ridden by the greatest jockey in the world right now, Joe Anderson, after after his exploits sort of hanging on round a horse's neck. I think it was on Monday, I think. But he's winner of his last, 2 of his last 4 starts, including a win at Sedgefield on Boxing Day. His last 2 starts over hurdles. There's a 3rd of 7 and also a 6 of 13 on his form lines, but they're on the flat. So if you look closely at his handicap hurdle exploits, he's finished 2nd, 2nd, 1 and 1 as well behind you. So I think Moth is a little bit overpriced here for trainer Neil Mulholland. He's around 16 to 1. One on Good to Soft, he's 2 from 5 on Good to Soft. He's won Class 2 contest at Chepstow in October 2022. I think he's an improving sort at 6, and he can go well in this, hopefully. Moth Hill together with Sonogino and Mark of Gore, but Moth Hill each way will be my big one there, my main bet there in the 242. Moving on to Warwick, we have 335 at Warwick, the Veterans Handicap Chase, which has been relocated from last week. Class 2 handicap over 3 miles, Ben.
Yeah, Veterans Chases, I would be honest, are not generally my thing, but
yeah, I agree.
I don't mind the final, to be honest, yeah. I don't mind having a play in it. Once again, attracted relatively healthy field size, which is good. Decent pot to shoot for. I'm looking at a shortlist this year of Lord Dumesnil, Sam Brown, Mill Green, and Cyclop. Now, Lord Dumesnil, caught my eye when running a fine race in the Veterans Chase at the Cheltenham December meeting. I came over 2 mile 5, short of his best trip. But he ran a fine race, though. The run should have tuned him up perfectly for this. And he will meet with his prime conditions here, which I have as trips of further than 2 mile 7, soft or heavy ground, a rating of 149 or less, and day since last run 56 or less. Under those conditions, he has form figures of 4 wins and 3 seconds, and they are all 4 of his career wins. So he has conditions that should see him run somewhere close to his best. And if he can reproduce a similar sort of figure to that which he's been posted on recent starts, then I'll be surprised if he isn't bang there fighting out the finish in this one. That's Lord Dumesnil. Sam Brown, he's one of those that's got more letters and numbers on his CV recently, but he's been competing in some valuable contests, and it's well worth remembering that he was 2 lengths clear at the Punchestown Festival 3 runs ago when falling 2 out. So bare form figures don't quite tell the full story. They also stick a visor on him for the first time, and he's wearing a first-time blinkers on that Punchestown fall 3 runs back. So if the visor has the same sort of impact here as the blinkers did, then he could be bouncing along out front in the early stages of this. And you know, if he can get loose at some point on ground he loves, he could prove a tricky one to peg back. And Warwick can be a good chase track for front runners that are getting a fluid sort of rhythm on the front end. So Sam Brown, he is appearing on my radar as well quite strongly. Mill Green, one of those strange sort of runners in these veterans races, and that he's actually still very much unexposed to the chaser, despite being a 12-year-old. This is only his fifth chase start. It's only his third in a handicap chase. He returned to fences last time out in a qualifier for this at Warwick, where he finished a solid second behind Thomas Darby, who also runs here. And Mill Green does get a decent swing of the weights with him. And I do think Mill Green was possibly ridden that day last time out with this final in mind. It was his first run for almost 200 days, and he's likely to come on plenty for that outing. He'll also have conditions to suit here. Look at him in chases or hurdles over shorter than 3 mile one, away from very undulating tracks, and off breaks of 26 days or more. You see that he is 4 wins and 4 placed efforts from 9 starts. So there are some solid pointers for Mill Green in this. And then the last on my shortlist, Cyclop, catches the eye because of the record of his trainer, David Dennis, in veterans chases over 3 miles plus and in the December and March period. Under those conditions, David Dennis runners return figures of 9 wins and 1 place from 15 qualifiers, 60% win strike rate, almost 100 points profit. Cyclop, he was disappointing last time out at Chepstow. He pulled up after hitting one too many fences. Probably a bit too hot a race for him in the stage of his career. He'll be happier back in veterans chase company. Could be one of those that runs himself into place here from lofty sort of price, Cyclop. Of that shortlist, though, very much Lord de Mesnil that interests me the most. I'd hope that he could, at the very least, grab one of the places on offer. But he does have his prime conditions, so I'd be extremely hopeful of him fighting out for the win down the Warwick Straight. Probably also play Sam Brown as well. Hopefully the first-time visor will spark a bit of life into him. So Lord Dumesnil and Sam Brown for me. Tony, what have you got?
I've got Darasha Counter, which obviously I put up in the first race. See which way he turns up. So keep an eye on Darasha Counter. I'll be playing him each way if he turns up in this. I've got for Harriet Graham, Gary Rutherford, Dylan Johnson claiming 7 off there. It's around 15-2. He's finished 3rd of 6 in the race you were mentioning earlier, Ben, for Mill Green. And I'm actually putting both of these up right now. Mill Green, as 11-year-old now. Again, he finished 3rd of 6 behind Thomas Darby, and he's also finished 2nd of 9 behind Good Boy Bobby, who also runs in this on seasonal debut back in October. But Mill Green as well, Nicky Henderson, he is what he is. He's 12-year-old now. He's never drifted away from around the 138 to 142 mark, and he's pretty solid and consistent. He's finished 3rd of 23 at Cheltenham Festival in the Potemps Network Final. He finished 3rd of 22 in the handicap hurdle at the entry, the Grand National Festival as well. So he is what he is. He's pretty solid and consistent, and I think 11 to 1's a little bit too big for him. So I'll be playing Mill Green and I ride in the Veterans Chase Handicap Hurdle Chase off at 3:35. Right now, top, middle, and bottom.
Oh, golly, what a boy! The great thing about loving football is you cannot explain why you love it. It just happens. Chasing a ball round a park, wanting one team to win against the other.
El Mahoney, right foot, whips it. Oh, jeezy peeps, man.
That was you last week in Elgin. Bit of the pop you've all been waiting for. Top, middle and bottom. But before this week's selections, Ben, an update on the current state of play, please.
Yeah, obviously no pod last week, so I'm not going to do 2 weeks worth of catching up. I'll just give the current totals, and they are me +3.24, Tony -23.59.
Oh, holy, a big one, moly!
A big one soon, Tony. But my top, middle, and bottom this week is Dunfermline to beat Airdrie at 13-10. Dunfermline winless in 5, but they've all been tight matches. Bear form probably doesn't quite do them justice. Airdrie are actually unbeaten in 4. But again, I'm not sure those Bear stats are quite all that they say they are, because 3 of those matches have been at home. where they're at their best. And the one away result came against struggling in Queen's Park. So I am going to take Dunfermline to get back on track and land the home win here. Middle, Queen of the South and Alloa to draw at 12-5. And both teams been in decent form recently, often just the odd goal between them when they meet. So I'm going to take them and cancel each other out in this with a draw. I thought that looked a good bit of value around 12-5. And in the bottom, Spartans and Stenhouse Muir to draw at 12-5. The two form teams in the league, Stenny have won their last 10. Spartans have won 7 of their last 9. Both have been tight at the back in recent games as well. Spartans have the best defensive record in the last 5. Stenny have the second best defensive record. Stats that kind of play out over the season as well. So I think it's going to be a tight one. I'm going to round out my top, middle and bottom with Spartans and Stenny to draw. Giving me a top, middle and bottom of top Dunfermline, middle Queen of the South and Alloa to draw, bottom the Spartans and Stenhouse Muir to draw. Tony,
over brilliant. To you. Brilliant. Good to be back in it. Airdrie away at Dunfermline. I'm going against you, Ben. Airdrie away at Dunfermline. Airdrie, as you said, have won the last 3. 9-5, Airdrie away at Dunfermline. Queen of the South, again, going against you. You've gone for the draw. I've gone for Queen of the South at home to Alloa. And they're 11-10. And also, bottom one for me, Elgin away at Forfar. Oh, stop sniggering at the back. Stop sniggering at the back, please.
I'm at the front sniggering at you, Tony.
Elgin away at Forfar. Elgin are in good form. You were telling me how brilliant they were last week. So at 15-4.
Well, that's a blatant lie if ever I've heard of.
Elgin away at Forfar, 15-4. Queen of the South at home to Alloa, 11-10. And Airdrie away at Dunfermline at 9-5. All right. That's it. Blimey. Doesn't it fly, isn't it, Podblast? Isn't it? It's better than sitting there for 2.5 hours. Many thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Racing Podblast. Very best of luck with your betting at Kempton and Warwick this weekend. Remember, if you're nearly right, you can catch me on Shed Hot Radio weekdays between 6 and 9, and you can catch more from Ben over on narrowingthefield.co.uk. That is narrowingthefield.co.uk. Big thanks for listening again this week. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Cheers, Ben.
Cheers, all right.
Thanks very much, mate, and good to have you back. And it's see you next week with the next installment of the Racing Podblast.